Lesson number 10, we consecrate ourselves to God. Every human being is a body. The body is the vehicle in which and through which he prepares for eternity. His brain is a part of his body. His nerves are a part of his body. His digestive tract is part of his body. How he treats his body, that is his gift, about which he had no choice, how he treats that body, gives to God a measure of judgment. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who dwells within you, which you have as a gift from God. Well, that's so for Adam. His body was created. It came as a gift. He suddenly awoke to the fact that he was a body. He could feel the body. He could feed the body. He could cater to the body. He had a body. But then he sinned. And the Christian realizes that he is tied to Jesus Christ by a second bond, that he is bought with a price. And we see these two concepts in Revelation 4 and 5. Revelation 4 ends with the old song, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast created us." Revelation 5 is got the new song, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us." And so we give ourselves, we consecrate. Con is with, and secrete is to hide. We hide ourselves in Jesus Christ. We secrete, we give, we embed ourselves in Jesus Christ. As a choice, because he created us and because he has redeemed us with his precious blood. Part number 5. Who is willing? Here again, this quarter, if we get nothing else, we should learn the force of the will. Who is willing to consecrate his service, himself, this day, unto the Lord? Now, the word for consecrate, in many passages in the Old Testament, literally means to fill the hands. When the priests were consecrated, their hands were full. They had to stretch their hands out, and the one who was ordaining them or consecrating them would put parts of the sacrificed lamb, parts of the bread, parts of the other offering piled up in their hands. And the picture that struck me when I first thought about it was their hands had no room for side issues or sidelines. The sacrificed lamb and the bread of life and the wine of the oblation filled their hands. Who then is willing to fill his hands with the service of the Lord this day? That is, who is willing to choose to have his hands full of Christ rather than his hands full of the things of the world? This choice, this choosing is ours. We must make the selection. Part number 2. Who opens the door? Jesus is standing knocking. This is a continuous act. I stand knocking. How does he knock? You ever thought about that? It may be by a call porter bringing a book. That's how he did it to the Harding family. He sold a book to my mother. Changed the course of the whole Harding family. They were never the same after that call porter visited them and they bought the book. He may knock through an evangelistic sermon. He may knock through a radio or television program. He may knock through the invitation of a neighbor to come to a meeting. He may knock through tragedy or death or hardship or financial collapse. Whatever way jars us and shakes us and opens our eyes, he is continually knocking. If anyone hears and opens, I will come in. We can hear what we want to hear. We can tune out what we don't want to hear. The choice is ours. We can open the door or we can leave it barred. Now the picture is that for a normal man, Jesus Christ is outside. The world is condemned already. He's without God, without faith, without Christ. Jesus is outside trying to get in. The choice is with us. Who then will open this door? Part number three. Keep your first love. This is again my choice. Jesus tells the church at Ephesus, I'm very sorry that you have abandoned your first love. You have given it up. Now the question is asked, how do I maintain my first love? This is a very practical question, not only for Christianity, but also for matrimony. How can the couple maintain their first love? As Ellen White suggests, do not give up the early attentions. When the couple was courting, what were the attentions? He took her out to a meal occasionally. They went out for trips together. They kissed each other. They showed outward signs of affection. He gave her various kinds of presents, of flowers, and perfumes. Don't give up the early attentions. Continually love. Find out how you can express, how your expressions are appreciated, and continue them. Now, the same principle applies to Christian living. What did we do to start with? We shared our witness, we told our friends, we were eager to study the Word of God. I've given studies to people who say, well, now I'm going to take work off for a month. I want you to study with me 6 hours a day. I don't have this very often, but I sure did have it happen. Their first love of the Word indicated they were so hungry they couldn't eat enough of it. So let's remember our first activities and ask the Lord to give us grace to put them in practice in our daily lives. Part number four, He does God's will. Daily he consecrates himself to God. Daily he renews his first ways of life. Daily he would do the will of God. What does God require? Now the verb here again, he who does God's will, indicates continuity of act. It's not isolated acts, I must emphasize that. It's the continual thrust, the majority of the activities. Now, sometimes we do things that are bad. God's got a method. Always, fail safe. If any man sin, we've got an advocate with the Father. But the general tendency of the life must be continually exercised to do the divine will. This is love that ye do. If ye love me, keep. So our willingness must be to do God's will. Whosoever willeth to do his will, he shall know. Part number five. No child of God is a sinner continually. That's not his habit. Occasionally, since we are in the world, we fall. And if any man sin, we have an advocate. But the thrust of his life, he remains. No one remains a child of God who is a sinner. He is a son of God. He is a child of God who keeps him safe. He is the son of God who keeps him safe. And the evil one cannot touch him. The reason why he can maintain himself as a child of God is that Jesus Christ sustains him. If we constantly study Christ's will, if we constantly read his word, if we constantly ask the Spirit of God to come into the mind, if we constantly pray, if our best thoughts are for Jesus Christ, then Christ will hold us. He says, nothing will pluck you out of my hand. Part number six, we do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now the word blessed, as we have thought out many times, means to accept the empowering of God to fulfill the divine function. Review again Genesis 1. God blessed the whale when he said, be fruitful and multiply. He had created the whales to be fruitful and multiplied. When he blessed them, he empowered them to fulfill their function. God blessed Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and have dominion. He empowered them to fulfill their function. Third item God blessed was the Sabbath. He empowered the Sabbath that he had made for man to fulfill the divine function. So he who chooses to do the commandments will be empowered to fulfill the divine plan in his life. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Obedience is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. We don't have it ourselves. When he comes into us, he enables us to obey. Now, as we think of this week's lesson of total consecration, we must be willing, we must open the door, we must renew our first love, we must be ready to do God's will, we must accept the sustaining keeping of power of Jesus Christ, and the focus of our lives must be to demonstrate our love by obedience. Love is the divine principle that makes and maintains ideal relationships. The commandments of God describe those relationships. So when I love, I keep the commandments and come into the ideal of perfect relationship with God. This is the goal, this is the joy of true consecration.